This is Wake Up Where, written by Mina Rennie and read by Flower Parish. This is a Stormlight Archive fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Shallan / Kaladin / Adolin.
I don't quite know how to say how I feel. Those three words are said too much, and not enough.
They don't actually go out drinking. Shallan and Adolin had decided to stay in, calling for Kaladin to act as their chaperone as they drank and chatted in Adolin's sitting room. It turns out that the staying in was the danger. Kaladin doesn't remember how they convinced him to join them. Kaladin wakes up with a high storm pounding in his head. His mouth tastes like a Kremlin crawled in it and died, he's groggier than he can remember being in ages, and when he cracks his eyes open, the light streaming in through the window causes his head to pound unfathomably harder. He closes his eyes again immediately, then squints against the painful brightness. It takes Kaladin much longer than it should to realize that he's not in his own bed, in his own room bordering the Bridge 4 barracks. Reflexively, he inhales, drawing in stormlight from a sphere somewhere. He sighs in relief as the headache dwindles, his stomach settles, and he feels his head start to moderately clear. He's nowhere close to 100%, but he's jump-started his brain to be at least mostly functional, rather than the slow crawl speed he had been thinking at before. His inhale draws his attention to the head tucked under his chin, and Kaladin freezes in horror as he realizes that not only is he in an unfamiliar bed, but he's in an unfamiliar bed with someone else. He lurches back inelegantly, heart in his throat as his hand slides off his bed partner's waist, and his only relief is that all he feels is fabric. A quick inventory of his own state assures him that he's completely clothed. The only parts of his outfit that he's missing are his coat and his boots. His sudden movement must jostle his sleeping partner, and his mind goes blank when he takes in Shallan's face as she blinks her eyes open and yawns, then settles her gaze on him. Her cheeks promptly go almost the same color as her hair, but she, bafflingly, smiles uncharacteristically sweetly at him. "Good morning," she says, voice hushed. "I," Kaladin starts, sounding strangled, but stalls out on finishing the sentence. He clenches his hand in front of him, the one that he realizes had been resting on her waist. Several thoughts go through his mind simultaneously, each worse than the last. Did she want him here? Did she not want him here? What would happen when Adolin found out? How much trouble would he, deservedly, be in? Would he be able to look either Shallan or Adolin in the face after this? The sick feeling in the pit of his stomach tells him no, even if their clothed state implies that nothing completely untoward happened, if Kaladin didn't count sleeping in the same storming bed as Shallan. "Ah, slower than usual in the mornings," she offers. "I imagine that's difficult for you, but I see that you've managed it." Shallan grins at herself, satisfied with her petty little insult, and Kaladin finds at least one knot in his chest unwinding at the familiar treatment, making breathing feel just a little bit easier. She's not yelling at him and throwing him out of the room. The room that, now that he looks around, belongs to neither Shallan or Kaladin. The realization hits at the same moment that the sheets rustle, and Adolin's head pops up over Shallan's shoulder, grimacing at the headache he undoubtedly has. "Well," Adolin comments, "this certainly is a memorable first. I have to say that I'm supremely jealous of the two of you and your stormlight right now." His voice is scratchy from just waking up, and Kaladin clenches his jaw to ward off the ache in his chest at the sight of him curled around Shallan, just as dressed as the two of them, but with his arm over her waist, the pained grin as he squints at Kaladin despite the morning light. Shallan laughs, sparing Kaladin from scrambling for a response that he doesn't have. At least you don't have to drink the hornier ale to feel a buzz, she comments lightly. Ah, that would have been what did it the night before. I haven't been that drunk since I was 16 and trying to impress my superiors in the army, Kaladin admits with a grimace, then immediately regrets it as Shallan and Adolin's eyes both fall on him. He's supremely conscious of the mere inches of space between his body and Shallan's, and he wishes that he had put more when he first pulled away in shock. The sick feeling in the pit of his stomach returns with a vengeance, although this time it has nothing to do with the hangover that he's banished, and everything to do with the way Shallan glances over her shoulder to exchange glances with Adolin, then looks anxiously back at him. Come to think of it, Adolin's pained grin has morphed into more of a worried expression as well, and Kaladin realizes that he has certainly overstayed his welcome. Drunk bed-sharing is one thing. Sticking around after coming back to consciousness and sharing a few awkward laughs is another. Stormfather, but the two of them are beautiful like this, curled around each other and just woken up, rumpled from sleep and clearly still half asleep and tired. Something in Kaladin breaks, and he inhales deeply as he reminds himself that he can't actually just burrow back into Adolin's far too plush sheets and curl against the both of them. That he has to leave now, now, before things get worse and he can never look the two of them properly in the eyes again. He forces himself to sit up and swing his legs over the side of the bed, face impassive as he reaches for his boots and leans over to shove his foot into one of them. It will be supremely embarrassing to get caught leaving Adolin's rooms by any of Bridge 4, and he almost certainly will, but it would be worse to stay. He's barely started lacing his boot up when a hand closes on his upper arm, tugging. Kaladin freezes, helpless to do anything but turn at the pressure to see Adolin reaching over Shallan to force him to look back at them. I'm sorry, Adolin says quietly. Somehow, the apology hurts worse than them not addressing his embarrassment. Kaladin clears his throat. It's fine, he says. I'll be sure not to tell anyone about this. Although, Shallan might have to get back to her room soon, or someone might notice that she never left last night. Shallan coughs. I sent Pattern to my room with a light weaving. People should have seen me returning there last night, before I got too drunk to uphold the illusion properly. Adolin, meanwhile, is frowning more than his hangover probably calls for. Kaladin watches him sit up, his eyes catch on the way the thin fabric hangs off his frame, outlining the breadth of his shoulders. Smart, Kaladin mutters, feeling distinctly out of place. So he'll be the only one caught leaving Adolin's rooms the night after he entered them then. Storming wonderful. Kaladin, Adolin says slowly, sounding out the name as if savoring the word. Are you under the impression that we're trying to get you to leave? Kaladin freezes, the tips of his fingers brushing against the laces of his boots. His thoughts feel sluggish with the shock, having trouble catching up to process Adolin's question. When one is offered a place in a couple's bed, usually it is only for the night, Kaladin says, voice sounding hard to his own ears. Aggressive. He continues to stare at his boot, halfway on his foot, refusing to look at the couple. He spent enough time staring at the two of them. This time, the hand slides up his spine to rub between his shoulder blades. It's Shallan's, he can tell, because her touch is far more gentle than Adolin's was. It still makes him want to spring out of bed, to run away and shoot into the sky and fly with Seal, to put distance between himself and this awful situation. He doesn't, of course. He'll take his rejection head on, even if he doesn't quite look them in the eyes while they dish it out. Usually that's for something different than just sleeping, Shallan says dryly, which is all that we were doing. Not to mention that we weren't planning on kicking you out. You looked shocked a few minutes ago. I was apologizing for startling you, Adolin adds. Kaladin inhales, reflexively breathing in some more stormlight from the room. One of the spheres on the walls dims a little, but he stops before the lights go out altogether. The boost is enough to straighten his shoulders out, to give him the energy to shuck his boot back off his foot and scoot back onto the bed. Shallan grins up at him from her pillow, red hair haphazardly spread out in a cloud around her head. Adolin smiles gently at him, where he leans on his elbow. "You can't do this to me if you don't mean it," Kaladin says after a long silence, wisps of stormlight escaping his lips as he whispers. "I can't deal with the two of you doing this to me. Why would you risk this?" Adolin laughs, and Kaladin is almost hurt before he realizes that Adolin isn't laughing at him. "We've talked about this for ages," Adolin admits. "We were sure you'd say no, thought that maybe we'd ruin our whole friendship. I didn't want to risk it." "I did," Shallan says brightly. "Can't profit if you don't take any risks, as Void would say." "She convinced me," Adolin adds dryly. "We wanted to just have a drink or two, then approach the topic of a courtship, maybe. But then things got, perhaps, a little out of hand." "A little," Kaladin repeats, feeling blindsided. They'd been talking about this, about him. Shallan seems comfortable from her spot looking up at the two of them from her pillow. She hums and nods. "More than a little, perhaps. Would you be willing, Kaladin?" "You can have this," a voice in Kaladin's head cajoles, one that is shockingly seal-like. Even when she was out dancing on the winds, her influence was in his head. Still, he found himself wanting to listen to the advice. He wanted this. "And if it falls apart," he can't help but whisper anyway, looking first at Shallan, then Adolin. The expressions on their faces can almost only be described as adoring. For him. "I'd like to think that we'll still be able to go drinking together, no matter what," Adolin offers. "Except maybe not Horneater Ale every time," Shallan adds. Kaladin swallows, then nods. "All right," he says, the words ripping themselves from his throat before he has the time to rethink them and take them back. "If you say so." Shallan tugs at his sleeve, eyes twinkling as she grins. "Get back in bed then," she says. "We have more sleep to catch up on, and Adolin has a hangover to sleep off." Kaladin finds himself allowing her to pull him back down. He stretches out in the comfortable sheets, then stills as he realizes that he doesn't know, well, how close he should be getting, how close he is allowed to get. Shallan solves the problem for him. She tugs at his arm, face bright pink as he scowls at being pushed around, but allows her to maneuver him to her liking. He ends up with an arm back around her waist, her head tucked under his chin, like the way they had woken up that morning. He can feel Adolin's knuckles brushing against his stomach, where he has his own arm wrapped around her from behind. He's nearly face to face with this high prince, Shallan, tucked against his chest like this. Against his will, he feels his cheeks heat when he locks eyes with Adolin. Adolin looks over his face for a moment, inscrutable, careful, and then slowly leans in. Kaladin is still shocked when Adolin kisses him. The kiss does not last long. It is brief, chaste. When they part, Shallan's hand on his jaw tilts his head down until she can press her lips to his as well. When she parts from him, she's blushing, and she tucks her face against his collarbone. The feel of her breath against his shirt makes him shiver. Adolin kisses Shallan's head, then leans over enough for her to turn her head and catch his lips for one final, brief kiss. Kaladin can't help but watch, entranced. The two of them are beautiful together. Afterwards, Adolin settles back down against Shallan's back, and Shallan curls into Kaladin, and it isn't long until he feels sleep pulling him back under. He falls asleep smiling. The end.
And if I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told.